Amen. Lee has written a new poem, and he's going to come up and share that poem with you. Thank you, my brother. And we do thank you for Pastor Appreciation Day. But it's not one day where you feel appreciated. It's every day. And so when we were on vacation, and my nephew, who pastors a church, and was told that story when I told you, you know, a lady stood up and just began to rail on him and tell him what an awful pastor he was and stuff like that. And I remember going to the Lord and just talking to him. And I said, I'm so thankful I don't pastor a church like that. You know, this church expresses their love to us on a regular basis. And I'm very grateful for that. I told somebody this week, I don't have a resume. I've never sent a resume to a church. I don't plan on going anywhere. This is the only church I've ever wanted to pastor and I ever want to pastor. And, yeah, I think you guys are the greatest. So thank you so much.
All right, before I start, I want a question. How many of y'all have ever suffered with depression? How about addiction? Yeah, see that? A lot of us. Well, this one is for those who are still out there and don't know that there is a path to that freedom, right? A place of freedom. It's called I Remember, Bring Them Home. And before I read this, y'all close your eyes, and this is a prayer. All right, I want y'all to pray this with me, all right? Heavenly Father, I pray from a place I know too well, where the nights are long and the mind's a cell, where the body aches, just one more fix, and shame rewinds the same old flicks. I remember thinking I wasn't worth a breath, worth a prayer, worth a rescue, worth anything but death. So God, when I pray for them, I pray like I'm praying for me back then, for the ones curled up on the bathroom floor, hoping for hoping the next hit will fix the war that's raging inside deep under the skin where nobody sees the battle within. Lord, meet them there. Meet them in the withdrawal, in the panic, in the trembling hour where their courage feels manic. Put your hand on their chest. Let them breathe. Remind them there is a way to leave. Tell them you're not mad, just heartbroken for every lie that addiction has ever spoken. Tell them you saw every scream they hid, every tear they swallowed as a scared little kid. Tell them they're still the one that you choose, even bruised, even used, even lost in the shoes they didn't want to wear. Tell them you'll carry them. You've always been there. Lord, break through the numb and the noise, through the poison stealing their joys. Turn needles to testimonies, smoke clouds to clarity, self-hate to identity, the kind found in your charity. I pray you hold the ones who think they'll never taste freedom, never see a sunrise clean, never even know what real peace means. But God, you freed me. And if you reached into my darkness, your grace runs deep. So go get them, Jesus. Kick down the doors. Flip the tables on the enemy's scores. Call them by name in that sacred tone till their souls whisper back, I want to go home. Because they are worth it. They always were. And your love is the cure for every hurt they endure. Amen.
Amen. Don't you know the world needs to hear those poems? Amen. Not just Bridge of Hope, but that needs to be heard elsewhere. Amen. The Lord spoke to me a couple weeks ago, actually when I was on vacation, about some sermons he wanted me to preach. And so I titled this To Be Like Jesus series. And I don't know how long it will be, but we started it last week when we talked about relationship, not religion. And so today I'm going to talk about that Jesus is the healer of the broken heart, the brokenhearted. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, I'm going to need a Kleenex. I didn't wear long sleeves today, so I can get by with that. Y'all see that over there? See that? When you don't have long sleeves, you can't do that. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verses 14. Now, most of us know Luke chapter 4 is the chapter where Jesus is tempted of the by the devil. So, verse 14 says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding regions, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." This is chapter 61 in Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." And there's more in verse 18. We'll cover that next week. But let's pray. Father God, I'm so thankful for this passage of Scripture. I'm thankful, Lord, that I met you at such a young age. God, that you've kept your hand upon me. Lord, I know what it's like to be brokenhearted, but I know that you are the healer, God. I know that you do more than just heal our physical bodies. You heal every part of us. You heal our minds, our emotions. God, you care for us. You love us. And we're so grateful, Lord, for the power of the Word of God that changes our hearts and lives. God, I am only a conduit today. Speak through me. Let the Spirit of God just take these words and melt them into the hearts of people, God. I pray for anointed ears today that they would hear an anointed word of God. So God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we talked about walking in the glory of God, and that to walk in the glory of God means that you move from religion into relationship. God has never wanted us to be religious. God has always wanted us in a relationship with Him. What happens when you get cold and indifferent? You need to know the warning signs. I said that last week. You need to know the warning signs for you. What happens in your life when you become cold and indifferent? Mine is I get a critical spirit. So when I see myself being critical of others, I know I need to get along with Jesus. So Jesus didn't call us to be religious. He called us into a relationship with Him. Why do we become religious? Because we quit seeking after Him, right? So it's easy to move from that relationship to religion. And so what's religion? It's just doing the right things with no heart. You just keep doing you go through the motions. It's like a loveless marriage. You're still living together. You're still going through the motions, but there is no emotions there. There's no heart there. And I find many people in the church live this way, and that is not what God wants for you. God wants you as His dear children to feel His presence, to know the love of God. You know, Paul said that, I want you to know the love of God, how deep and wide it is. And I think if there's anything that the church does, is we totally underestimate the love of God. We go more into the judgment of God than we do the love of God, right? We're quick to speak the judgment of God, but man, it's the love of God that draws people. So how do we do that? Remember, I told you James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. We do that by submitting, resisting the devil, and then drawing near to God. So when you begin to feel indifference in your heart, this is the way back. Submit to God. Resist the devil, because he's going to fight you to do this. And then draw near to God. Who takes the first step? You do. Jesus already took the step to the cross that paved the way so that you can take a step to him into his kingdom. So today we're going to talk about Jesus healing the broken heart. And so I wanted to bring this to you because I really believe the Lord wants to do something in each one of our hearts. And verse 14 says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Do you realize you should be walking in the power of the Spirit of God? Whoa, bless God for your enthusiasm on that. Wow. I am in a Pentecostal church, am I not? When you are born again, the Spirit of God comes and lives within you. Allow him. You know what Galatians 5:16 says? Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But you know what? I really like the NIV on this. You know what it says? Keep in step with the Spirit. I like that because, in other words, don't get ahead of the Spirit, but don't lag behind. How do you keep in step? By keeping an ear to the Holy Ghost, right? You've got to be attentive to what the Holy Spirit wants in your life. And Jesus says, when he come out of that wilderness, he came full. Now, this guy hadn't eaten in 40 days, but he was powerful in the Spirit. Maybe if some of us missed a few meals, let's go. Another sermon, another time. Okay. We know that he overcame, by the power of the Word of God. He come to Satan and he used the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, the temptations in your life, this is the NLT, are no different from what others experience. The temptation that you are going through are common to man, is what the old King James says. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. He will not allow the temptations to be more than you can stand. I've talked to a few people and they say, God has more confidence in me than I do. Because I don't know that I can stand during this temptation. He says, when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So maybe we need to pray, God, open my eyes. Let me see the way out of this thing. I want to tell you, what is a temptation? Temptation is an enticement to evil or testing. God permits testings for the purpose of strengthening faith and character. But the devil entices to trap you, to kill you, to destroy your life. So they come at it differently. It's important for you to know that when you're going through a time of testing, the Bible starts in Luke chapter 4, he starts off by saying, and the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When I'm tempted, I don't really think that Christ brought me there. But he does. Why? Because it develops something in you. The Lord is wanting to mature us. He's wanting us to grow up in the faith. So James chapter 1 verse 2 says, my brother, count it all joy. Jeez, right? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, you've never read James chapter 1 verse 2, right? I mean, how can God write that? Count it all joy. Now think about this. On your worst day of your life, James says, count it all joy. Hallelujah. My wife told me she doesn't love me anymore. Praise the Lord. It doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense until you look at it from God's perspective. And when you go through difficulty and realize that God is with you and leading you in the difficulty. So if you're going through a divorce, if you're going through hard times right now, you realize God is still with me. He has not deserted me. He's leading me through the difficulty. He is not the God that forgets when you go through difficult times. He is faithful at all times. I want to read a little bit more in James chapter 1, He says this, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Oh yes, thank you, Jesus. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. Because God does not tempt us with evil, right? Nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. We've all done that, right? We've all messed up. So in the middle of your trial, look to God. That's not normally who we look to, right? We look to everything to get us out of Dodge. I just want to get out of this thing. I never think about, Lord, what are you wanting to teach me? What are you wanting to develop in my character, in my life? Why am I going through this? But I believe the Lord will show you. Joy comes when you can look at this trial from God's perspective. When you can say, God, I know that you're taking me through this. One other statement I want to make to you. Life is a test of our faith. Every bit of it. Everything you go through, life is a test of our faith. God is developing your faith. He wants you to be full of faith, strong in the faith. Why? Because he needs a witness in the land. You are an ambassador for Christ. So let me just tell you a couple other little things that I noticed that I guess I'm preaching to the choir, but you need to hear it. As the custom of Jesus was, he went to church. Bless God. Yeah, there we go. The custom of Jesus was to be in church on Saturday, on the Sabbath. It's when they met, right? Your meeting day is on Sunday. Be in church. You want to be like Jesus? I'm telling you, it's that simple. It's that if you want to be like Jesus, one of the most simple things you can do is be faithful to the house of God. I'm always amazed when I meet people that says, well, I don't go to church, but I love Jesus. Yeah, right. You love the Jesus you're creating in your mind. Well, I wasn't planning on saying that. He says this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. That's a good old Christian term, anointed, and most people don't know what it means. In the Greek, it's chiro. It means rubbing or smearing oil. See, we anoint people with suntan lotions, right? It's rubbing or smearing oil into an individual. But what they would do, like you, oftentimes, especially if you get cold oil or something, you want to put it on somebody's back, you put it in your hand, right? You put it in your hand, you rub it together, try to warm that up, and then you massage it into the deep tissue of people. So here's what anoint really means, is the hand of God is on that person. Now, would you say something with me? I am anointed by God. You are. You hear me? Now see, you may need to tell yourself that often. Because we have this record playing in our mind. Going over and over. And usually all it does is tells us our faults. It tells us all the things that we're doing wrong. And sometimes you just need to take that record off. Not sometimes, all the time. You just need to break that record. And you need to put a new recording on in your mind that says, I am the anointed of God. I am the righteousness of Christ and Jesus, right? It will change you. I promise you it will change you. So what did he say he was anointed to do? To preach the gospel. Now, this is where we back up. This is where the church says, oh, that's your anointing, Eric. No, sir, it's not. It's your anointing. You are a preacher. You hear me? You are the one that will take the good news of Christ into the world. Don't divorce yourself from what God has called you to do. God wants every man, woman, and child to take the good news of Christ and tell his neighbor, tell his friend. To preach the gospel to the poor. Now, the last several years I sat in a ministry, it was a prosperity doctrine, and they would say something like this: what's the good news to the poor? That they won't be poor anymore. Gag me with a spoon. Do you really think that Jesus is more concerned about how much you got in the bank account than he is your eternal soul? You may spend 70 or 80 years on this earth, but we got eternity with him. The good news to the poor is they can be saved, that they got a new identity and a new place to gain. You get this? Good news to the poor. The gospel is coming to you. The truth of the matter is, I don't care how much money you got in the bank account. Without Jesus, we're all poor. And what we need is Jesus, because he's the one that rescues us. Don't ever get it confused. Does God care about my money? He does care about your money. God cares enough that he will provide for you. I know there's a doctrine out there that God wants all of us rich. I don't think you're going to find it in the Word. If he made all of us rich, he'd be signing our affidavit to go to hell for most of us. Because most people can't handle money. What you need to pray is, God, help me to handle a lot of it, right? Make me a river and not a dam. Make me a conduit. Whatever you put in my hand, not just 10% of it is yours. Every dime is yours. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you thankful? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they, this is where Paul asks four questions. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet. A thought just went through my mind to kick my shoes off, but I won't do that. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. What an honor. The greatest honor of my life is to preach the gospel. And I'm going to tell you, I'd rather preach as eat. And I love to eat. But I love to preach the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God. It's what frees us. It's what changes us. I don't care why you used to be addicted. You're a new creation in Christ. The addiction is gone in Jesus' name. And I got to read this one, Ephesians 2. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. If you are saved in this place today, you realize God has given me a gift because he loves me. So Jesus said, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. But this last line is really what touched my heart. You know, I've never, in all my life, as long as I've been preaching, I've never preached a sermon like this. I've mentioned it before at funerals. He says this, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You may not be brokenhearted today, but I bet you have been. If I'm talking to people that have lived life for a little while, you know what brokenheartedness is, right? Listen, first of all, you need to know what heal means. Heal means to set free or loosen or release. Brokenhearted is a state of profound emotional and spiritual suffering, often resulting from loss, betrayal, or despair. It's a deep longing for restoration and healing. The Greek word is, it's a person who has been shattered or fractured by life, overwhelmed by grief and disappointment. You know what brokenheartedness is? It's going through a divorce. It's burying someone you loved dearly, right? It's when everything just breaks in your life. It's waking up for years and years as an alcoholic. Raise your hand. 8 years sober. Amen. A year and 11 months today, sober. 4 years set free. He's calling himself a 2%er, because only 2% go free and stay free from methamphetamines. I don't even know. I'm thankful I don't know that life. Praise the Lord. Psalms 34:18 says this, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." Now, some of us say, I don't even know what a contrite spirit means. It means crushed. Crushed in your... Have you ever been crushed? Crushed in your spirit? When life is just... You say, maybe we'd say it this way, life just dealt me a bad hand. No, I'm sorry. That's not it at all. The devil is your enemy. You hear me? The devil wants nothing good for you. He wants to kill you, steal from you, and destroy you. But thank Jesus, he has come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. I want you to know if today, if you're in that state of brokenness, God is the healer of the broken heart. See, somehow when we're broken, we don't think the Lord knows. And that's wrong. That's anti-scriptural. He says he's close to the brokenhearted. You need to know that when life is just broke you, that he is there. I'm telling you, that helps tremendously. That in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus was so honest with us. He told us life is going to be hard. Lots of tribulation is coming your way. He did not tell us the fallacy that's being preached today, that if you serve Jesus, if you accept Jesus, it's going to be rosy. No, sir, is right. That's a lie from the pit of the devil, right? If you serve Jesus, if you give your heart to Jesus, it's like painting a target on your back. The enemy will be after you, but bless, oh, here I go. The devil is no match for God. Jesus is more powerful than the enemy. Hallelujah. So he may give his best shot, but his best shot is not good enough. He says in verse 19, he says, many are the affliction of the righteous. Righteous? Can you testify to that? Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Matthew 5:4 is Jesus, part of Jesus' sermon on the mountain. He said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. How does Jesus help the brokenhearted? I want you to listen to me really close. How does Jesus help us when we're brokenhearted? Number one thing, in my opinion, this is my opinion, is he gives us the power to forgive those who have hurt us. Amen. That does not release them. That releases you. Amen. Right? See, anytime that I preach, I realize There are people under the sound of my voice that have done a lot of bad things. We've messed up in a lot of ways. When you preach on abortion, you got to realize there's people listening to me that have aborted babies in this church. Amen. And you know, the pain of that goes sometimes their entire life. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Amen. See, not only do we need to forgive others, come on. Sometimes we just need to forgive ourselves. Amen. Jesus forgives us, but sometimes we are hard on ourselves. Are we not? Sometimes we look at ourselves and say, you're such a creep. You're so awful. I can't believe you did. Folks, that doesn't help anyone. You need to say, I'm thankful that I'm not that person any longer. I am a new creation in Christ. And that person that had an abortion, or that person that sold their body, that person that did this or did that, that's the old man. That's not who I am today. That person who took advantage of me when I was little, who abused me, may even have been a relative, I forgive them in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, sometimes we don't have that power to do that, but you are hooked up to one that can give you power to forgive. Amen. Jesus will help you forgive those that have hurt you the most. In the book of Ruth, there's a woman called Naomi, and the whole story is about her. Her and her husband, they were Jewish people, and they left Israel because Israel was going through a difficult time, I think a famine. So they go off into another land, her and her sons, and her sons marry foreign women. And over in the foreign land, her husband dies and both children die. And she decides, I'm going home. I'm going back to Israel. And her daughter-in-law, Ruth, goes with her. She says, wherever you go, I'll go. Your God will be my God. Amen. And so, but I want you to get this. When Naomi went back, someone said, hey, Naomi, bless the Lord. It's good to see you, Naomi. We've missed you. We haven't seen you in a long time. And here's what she says. Don't call me Naomi. Come on. Some of you feel like this, I know. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. No, no. You are missing it. When you think the Lord dealt bitterly with you, that's the enemy. Don't call me Mara. Call me Joy. There's a man in our church whose last name is Fail. And I tell him all the time, if that was my last name, I'd change it. Don't tell me my last name is Fail. My last name is Success. My last name is Joy. My last name is Fruitful, right? Holland, don't call me a failure. Aren't you thankful that God didn't leave her that way? You know what the rest of that story is? God restored everything to her. So right now, you could be in a state of brokenness. What you need to realize, that's not home. You're just passing through. Learn what God needs you to learn in this season so you can get through it. You know, some people says, but you don't understand, Pastor. I just keep going around this thing over and over and over. So why is that? Because you're failing the test. You got to pass the test before he'll move you out of that valley into the victory. You got to pass the test. What do you need to do? Father, what do I need to learn in this state of brokenness? Because I am not happy about this. I'm joyful because James says I should be. I don't want to camp out here. The anointing of the Holy Spirit has the power to restore and release you from captivity, from the emotional bondage. In Colossians 3:12, he says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. God restores what the enemy tries to steal from us. There was another man in the Old Testament named Joseph. Joseph was sold by his brothers, went to Egypt, accused of rape, went to jail. I mean, just one bad thing after another. You know, the Bible never tells us that Joseph complained or denied God. You know, he's a type of Christ in the Old Testament because of that. Never tells us of his sin. But when he is restored, he goes from the jailhouse to the second place of power in Egypt overnight. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, let's get that for just a second. I know some of you that are broken right now, you think, oh, this is going to last 6 more months, or this is going to last another year. You do not realize that in one day's time, God can change everything about you. I'm telling you, God can change it just like that. He can break off those things that are holding you back. So at the end of the story, when Joseph's brother and his dad and all of them come back together, Joseph speaks this to his brother. He says, what you meant for bad, God meant for good. What the devil has meant for bad in your life, Jesus will bring it to good. I told somebody this yesterday when I went to Israel. An old Jewish guy told me this. He said, don't spit in the well you're drinking from. I was fascinated by that, but I didn't understand it. And I said, you got to break that down for me, brother. What in the world does that mean? Now, it sounds wise. I don't want to spit in the well I'm drinking from. He says, whatever brought you to Christ, don't curse it, but thank God for it. That's a new perspective for you. Can I be thankful for years of addiction? If it brought you to Jesus, you can. You hear me? Whatever brought you to Jesus, don't curse it. Thank God for it. You're not getting that revelation. The greatest thing in your life is meeting Jesus. He's the healer of the broken heart. When the lady was caught in adultery, they were ready to stone her, and they brought her to Christ, and they threw her at his feet. The Bible says naked. Here's a naked lady and all these men standing around with a stone. The normal question we should ask is, it takes two to commit adultery. Where's the other guy? Right? Where's he? Yeah. They didn't want him. They just wanted the woman. And Jesus stooped down and started writing in the dirt. Wouldn't you love to know what he wrote in that dirt? I mean, if I've got a question for him when I get to heaven, what did you write in that dirt? I needed to preach that sermon, God. Where's the man? I never thought about him writing that. And one by one, the Bible says, from the oldest to the youngest, they start dropping the rocks. And he looks at this woman. He says, where are your accusers? And she said, they're all gone. Listen to these words. Neither do I condemn you. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Do you realize Jesus does not condemn you? Jesus doesn't condemn you for your past. You know, I know if you're here and you've been an addict, I know there's things in your life that you're ashamed of. There's things that you've done in that addiction that you are not, you would not ever want anyone to know. I get that. Jesus is not here to condemn you. Jesus is your healer. He's your friend. He's the love of your soul. He does not condemn you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's Romans 8:1. Thank you, Jesus. You need to realize the devil is a liar. Sometimes we can't distinguish his voice from our voice from God's voice, but you need to work on that. When it condemns you, that's not the voice of God. When it tells you how terrible you are, that's not God's voice. God's voice is, come to me. Come on. See, condemnation pushes you away from God, but conviction of the Holy Spirit draws you to Him. Now, the Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin. He will say, that's a wrong thought. Oh, those were bad words. You shouldn't have spoke those words. And what does He do when He's, so that you can ask forgiveness, so that you can get rid of it? There was a woman at the well one day who was talking to Christ. And He said, if you just knew who you were talking to, you would be asking me for water. And out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. He said, go get your husband and let's talk some more. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you've answered right. You've had five, and the man you're with right now is not your husband. He did not condone that, but He was just speaking to her. She said, you must be a prophet. No, I'm greater than a prophet. He didn't say that. That woman was the prophet. She went back to her hometown. She said, now this probably was not a well-respected lady. She said, come and meet the man who's told me everything about myself. Come and meet the man. See, that's the call today. Come and meet the man that is the healer of the broken heart. See, I don't know what you could be broken about today. I know it's real. I never want to dismiss that brokenness is real, that there really are difficult times in life that breaks us. I just want you to know today, Jesus will heal it. He will break that off. You know that there's grief and then there's a spirit of grief. See, it's normal to grieve, but you can move from grieving into a spirit of grief that turns into depression and just overwhelms yourself. Jesus can break that spirit. That's not a spirit of God. The spirit of fear is not of God, right? He can break those spirits. The spirit of depression, that's a spirit, folks. You can't fight a spirit with medicine. But you can bind it in Jesus' name. I need to give an altar call. And I need to speak two things. Number one, the gospel to the poor. If you do not know Jesus, you need to be running to this altar right now. You need to be saying, I am a poor man and I'm in need of a Savior. I need Jesus to heal. Would you stand with me? The second thing is this. If you are in the state of brokenness today, I believe with all my heart, when Jesus gives me a sermon, it's because He wants to change something in our lives. If you're in the state of brokenness right now, I want you to step forward. We want to pray for you, and we want Jesus to break off this brokenness. Whatever it is, break this brokenness off of your heart and life in Jesus' name. And it may be that you just need to forgive yourself. Amen. Come on down. Step forward. Amen.
I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
My Savior, the one who will never fail.
He will never fail.
I'd like the deacons, those mature in their faith, come and stand behind these. I would love for everyone to have a hand on them.
I want to tell you something. I think the Lord spoke to me over there on that seat. Restoration. Restoration means you're going to return something back to its former owner, former condition. And the Lord told me over there a while ago, I want to restore families. Families that are broken apart. Maybe you haven't talked to them. Maybe you're not allowed to talk to them. You need to be up here because that's broken. That's brokenness. And the Lord wants to restore you.
I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord.
Yes, I did.
And he answered. That's why I trust you. That's why I trust you. I sought the Lord. Yes. Come on, Jesus. I sought the Lord. And he heard and he answered.
Hallelujah.
I sought the Lord. And he heard and he answered. That's why I trust you. That's why I trust in God. My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God. My Savior. I need you. Oh, I need you.
my